This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Perhaps a breakthrough in the writer's strike. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has the latest.
There is no Hollywood ending yet, but the stage is set for a potential deal between the Writers Guild of America and the Hollywood studios. Late Saturday, the two sides issued a short joint statement saying they'll meet again Sunday.
We're hearing that they're close, but that perhaps not as close as some of the press reports, which have suggested that it's all down to the drafting by the lawyers.
Variety and other trade publications report the studios have presented their best and final offer for a new three-year contract.
The United Auto Workers Union continues its strike against the big three automakers, and President Biden is showing his support.
President Joe Biden says he'll travel to Michigan on Tuesday to stand in solidarity with the men and women of the UAW.
No deals! No wheels!
Joining a picket line would be a first for any president.
In a rare Saturday session, a House committee has moved forward on several appropriations bills, perhaps clearing the way for heading off a government shutdown. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy sounded optimistic.
We were able today to pass a rule to bring forward a month. If you watch for a long time since last July, a few members were stopping us from ever being able to even start the bills. That's why we haven't been able to do it yet. So now I feel like it's kind of broken through.
If Congress fails to reach a spending deal by the end of this week, a government shutdown will follow. Ophelia is petering out.
It no longer is a tropical system. The wind died down below 35 miles per hour. So really, it's just a rainfall threat as it continues to move northeast and then exit the coast.
Meteorologist Larry Kelly at the National Hurricane Center. Amid a worsening global displacement crisis, border communities in the U.S. say they don't have the resources to safely process asylum seekers at the rate they're coming in. Oscar Lesser is the mayor of El Paso, Texas.
The city of El Paso only has so many resources, and we have come to what we look at a breaking point right now.
Thousands are being bused to other states. A black high school student's family is suing the state of Texas over suspensions due to his hairstyle.
17-year-old Daryl George, a junior at Barbers Hill High School in Mount Bellevue, just east of Houston, has been serving an in-school suspension since August 31st because of his dreadlocks. His mother, Darisha George.
They said that when let down, his hair is below his eyebrows, which they never seen his hair let down. His hair is always up. They just basically picking with my child.
The lawsuit accuses Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Attorney General Ken Paxton of failing to enforce the Crown Act, the new state law outlawing racial discrimination based on hairstyles.
That's reporter Chris Fox in Austin. And this is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Retire, more than 40% of U.S. farmland will change hands in the next decade. But it might not wind up with young farmers who want to farm. Hannah Breckbill with Decorah-based Humble Hands Farms in northeast Iowa says out-of-state corporations buy the land and rent it to the highest bidder, keeping it out of local hands and driving land prices sky high.
Land prices have been going up and up and up. In my career as a farmer, which is not very long, only about a decade, I've seen land prices more than double. And we need farmers to be on the ground owning land.
The Farmland for Farmers Act would restrict corporate investment, and supporters hope it is adopted as part of the new farm bill scheduled to be debated this month. Breckbill also helps overwhelmed young farmers find land in Iowa, and being a young farmer herself, has firsthand experience with navigating the daunting land acquisition process. She believes farmland should be making a natural transition into the hands of beginning local farmers.
We know how to farm. We have the skills. We have the knowledge. We have the capacity. We have the energy. We just don't have the capital. to be able to access the land.
The National Family Farm Coalition, which supports the Farmland for Farmers Act, released a fact sheet showing the average price of an acre of farmland in the U.S. has climbed to $3,800, the highest it has been since the 1970s. This is Mark Moran Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow,
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And if you're out there and you want to talk education, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, look at that, man. You got to hide in that hair.
From the classroom today.
I see that, man. Truly coming from the classroom. And truly an educated educator who was just educating educators, right?
Right. We got our teacher, future teachers back on campus here, you know, getting ready to, you know, put in their last big push before their classroom teachers. So it's an exciting time here at WSU.
Cool, man. Well, okay, so we've had some great guests, some great conversations, and again, you know, pushing the extended podcast that is coming on after the shows. Man. A lot of stuff going on here with Busted Pencils, a lot of fun, and, you know, we actually, so it's like, hey, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? It doesn't matter sometimes as long as you're doing it, because the extended pod for tonight's show is already done. We just haven't released it yet. I know. Look at producer.
You say, Ani, which comes like, first, the chicken or the egg?
I'll eat the
chicken and I'll eat the egg. We got the podcast ready.
We got it ready to go. The extended pod. And we had two great guests on the extended pod, Paul Thomas, Radical Scholarship. Check him out. John Warner out on John, you always check him out, Inside Higher Education, teaching, writing. ChatGPT has been on the show many times. But Johnny, there was a piece that kind of sparked our conversation.
Ignited a fire
from one of our favorite friends, Michael Petrilli at the Fordham Foundation.
I
like to make friends on this show, as people know. A bridge back to bipartisan education reform, a generation at risk, a call to action. And according to Michael Petrilli, my goodness, the 90s through the 2010s, what a wonderful time they were. For anybody who's trying to remember that, check it out. What was going on? No child left behind. Who could forget all of those kids that were standing there about to be left behind? No, they were not left behind. They were brought up. Well, I don't know. And then when they weren't, when some of them were left behind, racing to the top, grabbing all of those students, racing to the top to get there. And I don't know what happened when they got there. But those were the glory days of education reform, when Republicans and Democrats, when everybody in the world agreed, public schools were failing miserably. And we need to turn over teaching, testing to privateers, marketeers, and let's test kids like crazy. Let's punitively punish teachers, because those days were awesome. Johnny, I mean, no. Is that a good summary of Petrilli's piece?
I mean, that's your boy. I mean, that's a good summary of it, you know. But if you listen, if you just tuned in and you hear, you know, my co-host, you know, like you know, espousing those ideas, he's doing it with a heavy dose of sarcasm. Education reform has been, largely unsupportive of good education for decades now, maybe even longer. And so that's the summary, really, is, Petrelli's piece is just trying to shine a turd of ed reform. So,
there you go. I love the visual image for radio, because we can't smell the turd on radio,
right, but
we
just shine
the turd. What would that turd be you were talking about, Johnny?
Yeah, the bipartisan educational reform efforts that, in our extended pod that we'll have releasing, our guests really spoke to the fact that, whether it was Republican or Democrats, that the effort by and large was to create more market opportunities in education and not to, to better serve learners or to, help reinforce good teaching.
Well, I mean, so yeah, we know that, but I mean, he goes on and says, like, look, these were good times. Math achievement, rose from the No Child Left Behind race to the top when everybody got along, when, like I said, when all Democrats and all Republicans all together believed in destroying American public education. And Petrilli's worried, though, when we think about this, and we want to set this up because this will lead us into another piece we're going to talk about, and really, as we said with our guest, Paul and John, we'll really dig into this. But Democrats, my God, because you keep hearing us, and tonight is a bipartisan show. We are going to bipartisanly go after both parties, because both parties, sometimes what we do here on Busted Pencils, because my neighbor likes it, is when we don't pick sides and we beat up on all sides, because when all sides are beating up on our kids, on our schools, and doing things to our teachers, that's why we have Busted Pencils. Oh, my God, Johnny, it makes me excited to think about it. If you're out there, you want to jump in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. In fact, I'll put this out there. If you are, living for the glory days of No Child Left Behind, you want a taste of that, bringing it back, we want to hear from you, 844-967-2789. If you were successful at racing to the top, please call in and give us the testimony, because, there are people out there that are saying, bring it back. Now, the whole idea, though, of bring it back actually should cause people to say, what is it that Michael Petrilli is really concerned about? Is he really concerned about the fact that things used to be good when everybody agreed to do really horrible things to kids, schools, and teachers, like ridiculously test them and then punish them and then take away things from them when they didn't do as well, or when kids who already came to the test and didn't have their needs met before they came to the test, again, we again called them losers and we left them behind. All of that is erased. Because those were the good old days, things were good. Is Petrilli, so Johnny, I want to ask this question. We didn't do this on the extended pod that people were going to release probably tomorrow, but is this, he talks as if the reform movement is over. And I just wonder that question, we didn't really go into this. I still don't see any reduction in state level testing, in constantly yelling at teachers for not bringing up test scores. In fact, since COVID, we've been really focused on learning loss, the disaster. The only way we could technically measure learning loss would be through testing. What does Petrilli want to really bring back is the question, Johnny.
You asking me, Tim?
I am. Well, you're.
Oh, man.
Last time I checked, you were Johnny.
Keep those markets open. He just wants to keep saying, how come stuff that schools have proverbially bought or purchased as solutions, states, districts, and schools, they haven't worked. And so we gotta mark a new era so that new products can be, applied and sold to districts as solutions. So, I think it's more of the same, Tim. It's not really an end of an era. It's just a shift in language.
But see, now John Warner, our guest, though, really, he kind of goes like, wait a minute, though. Petrilli is nervous. He's worried about, you know, this going away. And whether or not you would say we're kind of like, I don't know, the testing and the accountability movement, as far as I can tell, hasn't really eased anything.
No.
But John made us think about this idea of going, Petrilli might be really frightened by the non-bipartisan movement that's occurring right now in education, particularly the right-wing, very ultra-conservative attack on a full-out assault, Chris Rufo and the gang, Matt Walsh and the, you know, these people, their full-out assault, Moms for Liberty. They want to take public schools out. And according to John, Petrilli's nervous about that because, as you pointed out, though, without a thriving, and I use that word thriving very incorrectly, but without a thriving tax-based public education system, Petrilli and the grifters can't take money out of that market anymore. He really sees this as, oh my God, we've got to rally around bipartisanship to keep the mother load flowing the dollars to us. Because if these crazy people on the right, Moms for Liberty, Rufo, all of these people, if they win, our market gets shut down. And that is Petrilli's bipartisan wish. A bipartisan wish to go, can't we all just come back together again and realize that we love public schools and siphoning the money away from those schools for our markets? I think that's where we were kind of going with that piece. Numbers 844-967-2789. If you want to jump in with us, Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. We are looking at a piece by Michael Petrilli, A Bridge Back to Bipartisan Education Reform, put out by the Fordham Foundation, A Generation at Risk, Call to Action. And the whole piece is that please bring back No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, because back in those days, Republicans and Democrats all agreed. They all got along. They all did what was right for, all right for markets. So Johnny, when we're getting up here on the first break of the show, really, and put this out there, if you are a No Child Left Behind advocate, or if you won that race to the top, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Or if you're an educator out there, and we know our Wisconsin fans are listening out there, the Wisconsin teachers, you know, you want to get back to the bipartisan era of loving school and testing and accountability. You want yourself some No Child Left Behind Part 2, Race to the Top Part 2. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. 844-967-2789. More when we get back after the break.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, 844-967-2789. Give us a call. We are advocating for No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, a new era. Bring them back. No, Johnny and Tim would not be saying that. But we are talking about some people out there wondering if we can get back to the good old days of No Child Left Behind, the good old days of Race to the Top, those good old days, as Michael Petrilli points out, when Republicans and Democrats all agreed on taking taxpayer dollars from our public schools and siphoning them off to other providers, other markets, because my goodness, here we are now. Our guest from the extended pod that'll be coming out tomorrow, John Warner, points out, hey, Moms for Liberty, they're no joke, man. They are out to destroy public schools for good. And what's a good bipartisan capitalist going to do when the feeding trough is no longer available for the taxpayer dollars to be siphoned into my, I can fix your math problem, I can fix your reading problem curriculum, the professional development every teacher needs to be purchased from me. That was the good old days. 844-967-2789. I know it's hard to talk about this, Johnny.
I mean, well, like sometimes you just got to stand back and let, you know, like the groups that kind of made a mess of this make it even more messy so that we can get back to, you know, like really getting to the brass tacks of what do we want the purpose of public education to be and how do we support that? You know, in, like you mentioned it. And so those groups are pretty clear about the purposes they want. Mm-hmm. I'll summarize it. One of them wants their complete control of the value system taught in there. And so like that's, you know, I'll say a special interest group, maybe Moms of Liberty. And that in a democracy which we're in, schools not only like public schooling is not only under the jurisdiction of, you know, state as a state right, but it is fairly localized democratically into districts and school boards. And so by exercising all of our civic duty as democratic citizens, we have direct entry to being able to have a say and how and what is happening in schools, in a public school system. So in one sense, while I might not align myself with, you know, the Moms for Liberty special interest group, I'm pretty excited about them utilizing and illuminating the democratic process, which we all ought to be, you know, more active in. The flip side of that is, you know, the larger reform efforts that tend to come from a national level that are, you know, saying, hold up. We're kind of afraid of this localization and democratic voice because it might undermine our one size fits all. Here's the best curriculum, buy it. Here's a really good deal on it that really is never a really good deal. Oh, and Oh, and if you don't use it, you can't, you don't get any federal funds. So if you want, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like a paternalistic approach to state rights, where a national organization, you know, the federal government says, if you want funds for education, you better do what we say or you're not getting funded. And so, you know, this is we're in an unsettling moment. And usually it's these, you know, unsettling moments or catalytic events that spark change. And so what I like to do is step back a little bit and let it play out and illuminate like what's happening. We are seeing that democracy works. So let's roll up our sleeves and get in there. Like, let's not just leave it to Moms for Liberty. Maybe it's, you know, Schools for a Democratic Society.
Okay. So I'm, you're not defending Moms for Liberty's position. You're just pointing out, though, that in a democracy, Moms for Liberty right now are delivering using the democratic process to push their values on all of us. So, I mean, in other words, Moms for Liberty is using democracy.
Not, I don't want to even say using it. They're exercising their civic duty. You know, they're performing a civic duty as part of a democracy, of being part of that conversation. It is a call to all of us doing that. It shouldn't be one particular group with the privilege to do so, right? And so while I don't align myself with their agenda or their politics, I do in other groups. And so I believe strongly, like, we all have the civic duty to exercise and voice the importance of Black Lives Matter movement in schools, to exercise the right of children's, to the importance of children's rights in schools or social emotional learning. You know, these are things that we need to get serious about, regardless of our political identity, like whether we're Republican or Democrat, the democratic process being local. And that means, you know, like being involved in your school board, right? And school board elections and school board meetings. And that is part of what I'm saying is a democratic process. So I don't think Moms for Liberty are using it. That makes it sounds like kind of like it's a shady move. You know, they're putting to practice their democratic civic duty. We all in a democracy have a responsibility to be civicly engaged.
So they're using democracy to undermine democracy. I'm just mad. No, I don't know if I'm messing. Numbers 844-967-2789. We're No Child Left Behind reboot, A Generation at Risk. Back to the days when No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top was awesome. Not really. However, that's what we're talking. What a mess this is, though. But watching those people who advocated for that place in time when all Democrats and all Republicans got along. Although, Johnny, you pointed out something really interesting. I want to dig into this and use the federal government to bully in one way. Local jurisdictions took the democracy out of potentially. This is getting really juicy and complex. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education.
Call us up. Let's
give us a call. Let's chop it up. Busted Pencils back after the break.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Striking Hollywood writers may be approaching a deal with the studios. Maybe.
They thought, I think on both sides, pretty much they're going to have this over by Thursday. It dragged a little bit into Friday. Now it's dragged further.
Dominic Patton is a senior editor at Deadline. Progress in that UAW strike against Ford, but union president Sean Fain says that's not the case at GM and Stellantis.
We will shut down parts distribution until those two companies come to their senses and come to the table with a serious offer.
President Biden says a government shutdown is looming if Congress can't reach a budget deal.
If the government shuts down, that means members of Congress, members of the U.S. military, are going to have to continue to work and not get paid.
Ophelia, no longer a threat.
It's no longer in the tropical system. The wind died down below 35 miles per hour.
So really, it's just the rainfall threat as it continues to move northeast and then exit the coast.
Hurricane Specialist Larry Kelly, CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
Riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slucker. We are, you know, we're trying to come up with. Now, okay, let's put this into context. Mike Petrilli works for the Fordham Foundation, big advocate of No Child Left Behind, big advocate of Race to the Top, puts out a piece, A Bridge Back to Bipartisan Education, A Generation at Risk, really says, hey, look, man, in the 90s and in the early 2000s up through 2010, Democrats and Republicans all agreed that working together on the accountability, the reform movement, the over-testing, the brutalization of the brains of children and teachers, that was good times because we, quote, made academic gains. And I think we can dispute the fact that there were any academic gains that were ever made during that time. However, he's really worried because Moms for Liberty types of people are really taking it to the public school supporters, to the possibility that, whoa, if Moms for Liberty practice democracy any more strongly, they might actually do away with public schools. And if they did away with public schools, what's a bipartisan reformer who's got a really good grift gonna do? Who am I gonna sell my products to when the tax dollars that I could have used, and I'm going back to this, Johnny, when I was able to harness the federal government as a powerful bludgeon to say, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, the kids you're teaching, you guys, you will use this product and this product alone. And I'm sitting out there going, well, I got that product and let me sell it to you since it's the only thing you're allowed to buy. Petrilli wants to go back to those days. Those were good old days. He's worried, though, that democracy in the form of Moms for Liberty, which I can't even believe I'm saying that, but democracy in the form of Moms for Liberty, he's worried about that. Johnny, help people understand more about the Moms for Liberty and democracy.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to speak on behalf of Moms.
No, I know. Right.
I'm not entirely knowledgeable of all of their organizational agendas, but I like any group, right? We all in a democratic society, and we live in a democracy, have the obligation to do civic duty. And that civic duty is more than just vote. It's participate in local government. And you know, that is, I mean, that is still a strong cultural, like, day in day out piece of, we'll say, like the Northeast, mm-hmm. right? You always hear about like town hall meetings in Vermont. We romanticize about it, but it is like that Jeffersonian idea where people in a local district, we're talking schools, come together for a town hall meeting or a board meeting, right? And that school board is elected positions at the local level. So as we're more participatory in that, mm-hmm. like the groups that were mentioned, like Moms for Liberty, and there are certainly other groups, as we're more active and participatory in that, right, we're strengthening local democracy. We're bringing local voice to the decision making. That isn't a space where it's one perspective ought to rule, or even two. There ought not to be simply a Republican and a Democratic perspective. And in education, we know there hasn't been. Mm. Like, there are more understandings and local needs than that. It's diverse across our country, you know. And so one of the wonderful things about this is that it illuminates the example that there is power in local democracy.
Mm.
Does matter, and it does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And Moms for Liberty illuminates that. It becomes a threat to national curriculums. You know, it poses a threat to someone writing about the importance of having a national, you know, set standard for things. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, Tim, I'm not in favor of like really either party's perspective on this work, mm-hmm. but I like to step back and say, hey, this is a reminder.
Yeah.
That local democracy is incredibly important to the quality of education all of our children get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that is part of our civic duty. Now right. We get into like, how do we find time for this? How do we allocate resources, and who and what groups have that? That's where we start to fold in the privilege and power of particular groups over others.
Right.
That's a whole separate show, a whole nother issue. But I want to get into like, it is incredibly important that we exercise not only our right, but our responsibility
mm-hmm.
to decision-making about education at a local level. Yeah. It is not only the responsibility of teachers or principals, and we can't just point fingers. We have to get involved, right? And so this is something that, while I'm putting a full disclaimer, I likely, from what I know, do not agree at all with Moms for Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say they're bringing to the forefront, again, the importance of local participation. Mm-hmm. And so I advocate for we ought to be organizing around, you know, the groups that support why Black Lives Matter in all of our schools, why, you know, schools as sanctuaries for all children is important, mm-hmm. regardless of their citizenship status or whatnot. Right. And so these are important children's rights issues that ought to be discussed and deliberated upon locally and not trickled down, whether we have a Republican or a Democrat president, not impact our schools. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, go ahead, have that out at a national level, because locally there is important democratic participation taking place. So that's where I get, I cringe even saying excited about Moms for Liberty. I guess I can say I'm excited about anybody whose concern turns to action, right?
Yeah, right. I know you are laying that out there. I don't think anybody's listening now going, oh my God, Johnny Lupinacci
likes Monster Liberty.
No, it's very clear.
But in a way, you know, I kind of am like, hey, Monster Liberty is doing something here. Like, give them some props. Props to where props are due. Stuff I don't want to see come to fruition. But that brings me to my other point, Tim, is I'm hammering hard on our democratic civic responsibility. Here's sort of the underlying disclaimer that is also part of the democratic process. We all have a voice and our voice ought to be valued. Yes, that even means perspectives we don't agree with or that might be hurtful or harmful. However, in the democratic process and the civic responsibility we have, it's that all decisions ought to be then made with consideration and commitment to the common good. So I can voice things that maybe Moms for Liberty are voicing, but ultimately if they are anti-human rights or children's rights or anti-democratic in their how they play out, then they don't get to come to fruition. But they absolutely ought to be part of that process.
Right. And that's the clarity that we needed to put out there. The number is 844-967.
Boom. Give us a call.
2789. We are, Democrats for Education Reform, not Democrats, Democrats, Republicans, bipartisanship, Moms for Liberty. My goodness, this is a mess. Now, pivot, though, Johnny, again. I'm doing this right here. Okay, so now you got the Petrilli, the education reformers, the Democrats and the Republicans are like, whoa, wait a minute. You got Moms for Liberty. Well, they're out there doing their mess. And here go the lowly Democrats led by Secretary Cardona right now trying to say, yo, but what if some of us of what we say think matters? And I'm like, yo, okay, so really, Democrats, here's your first problem. You imagined that No Child Left Behind was a win for you. It wasn't.
Yeah.
But in Politico on, the 17th, here's the title. We've lost our advantage on education. Democrats grasp for wins on public schools. And then the piece proceeds to say, and this to me is the sad thing, the piece kind of makes Petrilli's point, which is Democrats, if you want to be relevant again, jump on the reform bipartisan bandwagon again, start advocating for choice, accountability, because if you're a Democrat and you want to be heard in this mess, that's where you need to locate yourself. Johnny, you're like, no.
Because this is, Petrilli's all about the smoke and mirrors to say, Democrats, if you want to be relevant, join our game and take on our agenda. And that's a win-win for the free enterprise marketization of education. They don't care whether it's Republican or Democrat, as long as everything gets moved to within the boundaries of what they're trying to do. Here's what I'll say, Tim, about this. And I think Petrilli's right about calling it a generation at risk, except I'm super excited about this generation.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because it is a generation that likely will not be Republican or Democrat.
They're
fed up with both of them. They understand that by and large, especially when it comes to topics of their lives in schools, they have not been served. They've been put in increased danger and their teachers demoralized. They've seen the quality of their education decline significantly around issues that shouldn't even be issues. Their safety, their well-being, their access to things as important as like food and shelter. And so there is a generation at risk according to the perspectives that ought to be worried about it, the Republican Absolutely. Party, the Democratic Party, because as things stand now, most of the young people coming up will have no interest in either's agenda. And that to me is absolutely a risk for those in power. And it is absolutely exciting because they're seeing through, remember I said earlier, it's trying to shine a turd.
So
they're seeing from that object from which falls from a bull.
This
generation is seeing through that clearly, and that is a major risk to both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party.
But
so
is
we got that one right, generation.
Yeah, but now that you're making me think though too, is that though truly then okay? The opportunity, and maybe Democrats, but this Politico piece kind of saying, like, Democrats, if you want to be relevant, you need to go back to advocating for reform. And what you just said, Johnny, though, is kind of the piece, and, you know, and see this on the Young Turks with Cenk Younger and these guys, you know, going, wait a minute, Democrat, you want to be relevant? You don't need to pivot to the market. You need to recognize that this true, Johnny, as you laid it out there, this true generation at risk, they are looking for and they are hungry to become a part of something, to make their voices heard, to really galvanize people to say, we want things to be better. You know what? They're coming out of this. I grew up in school lockdowns for school shootings. I don't want that anymore. I don't want my friend who I hang out with, I don't want him to miss school lunches because people have politicized and said, we're not given, like you're saying, they're active. And Democrats, or any, you know what, maybe anybody, if anybody wants to harness the public good, putting public schools back where they belong and recognizing and winning for this country, your opportunity is not to reclaim No Child Left Behind.
If anything, and I'm saying this as a supporter of years of supporting the Democratic Party, Tim.
Yeah.
If anything, they've shown that they have absolutely no backbone to the Republican agenda.
Absolutely.
And they show that they're going to be completely submissive and subservient to it time and time again when it comes to education. Well, young people are like, hey, I'm not going to be able to afford college. They're like, too bad we can't help you, Democratic Party. We might promise student loan relief or affordable higher education, but we're not going to get it for you.
We're not going to give it. We're not going to give it to you. Yeah, we're not going to deliver.
On issue after issue, they've failed. They've absolutely dropped the ball and done nothing in action to actually make schools safer, more inclusive, or higher quality for young people.
844-967-2789. What a mess, but what an opportunity, which is also to say this conversation is really going to get rich and deep tomorrow when we release the extended pod with Paul Thomas and John Warner. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. No Child Left Behind Part 2. No thank you. Moms for Liberty, Practicing Democracy. Oh my God, wait a minute. Let's make that stop. Democrats, backbone. We're giving you the opportunity, Democrats, to get a backbone. More Busted Pencils when we get back.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
It's Busted Pencils. We are back. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. You have one more chance to give me and Johnny a call. 844-967-2789. A return to the days of No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top is just a wish of really weird people. And that's being nice, weird people. Here we are, though, Johnny. We've really pushed this idea of going, okay, recognize that when people are calling for bipartisanship, particularly around education, and that's maybe how we want to frame this, is that watch out. Bipartisanship in public education right now should be absolutely, you hear that and go, whoa, 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 whoa. That means they're coming back to take the tax dollars of my local public schools and pay their own grift, their own way. They're not really concerned about, as you pointed out, Johnny, the common good, Friday night football, what's good for the prom, what's good for the kindergarten parade. No, 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 no. They want to get back to the place where they could siphon the money off of the tax dollars from people who pay taxes for the public schools. They want access back to that money through curriculum, through the right tests, through the state-approved curriculum, through the mandated professional development. Those days were great when we were making lots of money. We're worried, though, too, that some of the push from more hardcore, a very anti-democratic view, such as Moms for Liberty, their takeover of some schools is frightening to the bipartisan effort to reclaim public schools for themselves. What a mess here. And then throw into that mix, and there are people out there going, and Democrats are right now running around going, we've lost public education. And it's like, Johnny, I'm like, well, yeah, you guys lost it, actually, as our guest in the extended pod, Paul Thomas, points out, from, you know, the Bill Clinton on. You guys, as Democrats, you've never really understood the reality in front of you of going, how do you harness public education to actually be, that's the power in what puts you forward. And Johnny, as you point out now, here we are. A true generation at risk. You know, I think of my son and my daughter, they are, you know, they're 23, they're 20 right now. They, producer Anya, the idea that no one is listening to them. And then you take, you know, think about this, the Parkland school shooting in 2017. You see those students out there now actively saying, listen to us, listen to us, listen to us. Democrats, you want an opportunity to become relevant? Grab on to the passion, the pleading with people that are saying, make a difference, not make some money, make a difference. Because, you know, I was talking about the show, you know, the extended pod that we'll release tomorrow. And it's just like, you know, we're thinking about this bipartisanship. And you, I don't know if you said this, but, you know, who is it that really, you know, Democrats, Republicans, I think it was Paul Thomas that said, you got to understand that once you're a billionaire, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you're a billionaire first. And recognize that if you're a billionaire first, just because you're a Democrat, and Paul really puts this hard on saying, and Democrats, a lot of the Democrats for bipartisan education reform fall into that camp of very wealthy, and the vision of schooling they have for my children isn't a vision of schooling they have for their children. So Democrats, you know what? Yeah, you want to be relevant. You know, we'll put this out there, the last part of the show. We don't need to beat up on Moms for Liberty. We don't need to beat up on MAGA right-wing Republican. We don't need to do that on this. We know where they are. They're using the civic active voice right now to make a difference, but they're advocating, as Johnny said, inhumane positions, positions that are harmful and not good for the public, the general public, and not good for children, not good for recognizing the individual rights of students and teachers and communities. But put that put that aside. Democrats, that is not your rallying call to say, but they vote for Moms for Liberty. Because that doesn't change my mind about you. Because when you say, hey, vote for me, I'm not Moms for Liberty. I don't know what you are, though, because as far as I can tell, you might just be a Democrat for education reform. So when you come out as I'm against Moms for Liberty, Chris Rufo fascism. Yeah, but you haven't told us what you're for. And typically what you're for, Democrats, is that you're for some form of accountability testing. You want the grift back. You're not going to win on that. Democrats, you want to win. You want to galvanize and grab a hold of a youth, a generation that is at risk. They're out there. You need to make yourselves relevant. Johnny, I don't know, a little bit here, man.
I mean, I don't think the Democratic Party wants to do that.
Oh.
If they wanted to do that, they would have put forth candidates who do that work. But time and time again, what they do is, they harness that energy just long enough to build an interest in the party, to build up hope, and then pull out that rug and put in someone who will cave to the market agenda. And I won't say will cave completely to the Republican agenda, because I think both parties are played hard by, market liberals who get what they want out of both parties. And I've seen, at least now for my entire voting life, right, which is only now, I don't know, 3-4 cycles of presidencies, has been, let's really raise a whole lot of support around the Democratic Party as a grassroots organization and as a strong advocate for schools and education. And every Democratic candidate is the education president until they have enough support to not be. And then they happen. And that includes, I absolutely unapologetically love President, I don't know, however you properly say that, Obama. However, it was just a train wreck. The Obama administration, furthered the agenda of reform in damaging ways. Arne Duncan and the Obama administration did. So, it's not a free pass. But time and time again, the rug gets pulled out. Right? And I don't believe that the party is interested in strengthening schools. I just don't.
I don't believe they're interested in winning, Johnny. I just don't believe they're interested. They're not winners. they don't want to win. They don't want to deliver. So as much as we are aghast, Busted Pencils, leaded.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.